Hey guys, Michael Hyatt here. Welcome to episode number 2 of The Double Win, a private podcast for Business Accelerator clients. In this episode, I want to talk about developing an experimental mindset. Now, I believe that mindset is where all success begins, and this is where so often the battle is won or lost. And the willingness to experiment may be the single most important mindset that you can develop. Let me give you an example. I first heard about Slack, a software app for internal communication, in early 2014. And at the time, our team was growing and we were struggling to keep everybody aligned and everybody informed. At the time, we were using email for all our internal communication. Some of you are probably still using it now. And it was proving insufficient to keep everyone in the loop. Specifically, we didn't have an easy way to get new team members up to speed on key decisions or new policies, or all the details that were part of every new product or marketing initiative. In addition, we found ourselves inadvertently leaving people out of important conversations. Worse, those conversations were distributed across hundreds, sometimes even thousands of email messages that lived in our individual inboxes. Well, Slack promised to change all that. Now, as a quick start, and I'm sure some of you can relate, I was easily convinced. I was ready to adopt it wholesale for all internal communication. However, my enthusiasm was immediately met with resistance by, shall I say, our less adventurous team members. They too were frustrated by the limitations of email, but at least it was a familiar tool, and they weren't quite ready to dump it for a new, untested one. Well, that's when I stopped trying to sell it to them and invited them to test it. I said, what if we conduct a one-day experiment? Let's just take one day next week and commit to communicating in Slack exclusively. And that means no email messages to one another for the entire day. Then at the end of the day, we'll get together and we'll vote. Well, I mean, who could say no to that? It was only an experiment and there was virtually no risk. So we tried it. By the end of the day, everyone, and I mean everyone, was sold. The team voted unanimously to try it for another 7 days. And at the end of that first week, we were still fully on board and we've never looked back. Today, Slack is the single most important collaboration tool that we use as a team. Now, from my experience, I learned that whether you're trying to sell an idea, a new initiative, or a program, it's often best to treat it as an experiment. Don't ask people to commit to something forever. Instead, invite them to commit for a week, or maybe the next 21 days, or some other defined period of time. If it doesn't work, you can discard it and go back to what you were doing before. Now, let's talk about the benefits of experimentation, and from my perspective, it has 4. First, it keeps you from thinking you have to get it perfect before you commit. Perfectionism is the mother procrastination. I mean, when you think you've got to get every detail right or answer every possible objection, what happens? That's right. You wait. And as a result, your organization gets bogged down in analysis. Second, experimentation enables you to gather data that you would otherwise never get. I mean, you can argue conceptually about something and still never get to alignment. Why? Because you're missing the data that only comes from actually doing the thing that you propose. That's why Uber, for example, ran a major experiment before launching their Express Pool service in 2018. Rather than talking about whether the idea might work or it wouldn't work or debating all that, they just tried it. Third, experimentation enables those who are not yet sold to give it a try before fully committing. You know, research indicates that 70% of change initiatives fail. 70%. I'm convinced that a huge factor in that is risk aversion among team members. That sets up resistance that virtually dooms the project. Well, treating change as an experiment reduces the risk and it enables team members to convince themselves or not. Either way, you'll know far more at the end of the experiment than you know at the beginning. Fourth, experimentation allows you to change your mind. For example, a few months ago, I decided, as some of you noticed, to grow a beard. Well, I made it clear to myself, my family, and even my social media followers that it was an experiment. I didn't try to convince them. I didn't even try to convince myself. I thought at the outset, this is going to be my new look. And I even did a photo shoot with it. But because I'd set it up as an experiment, after 6 weeks, I was over it. Gail was also over it, but she didn't tell me until after I shaved my beard. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it. So I shaved it. And it was easy for me to change my mind because I knew it was just a trial. Okay, so when should you use this approach? In my experience, it's useful to adopt an experimental mindset in three different situations. First, when you find yourself personally procrastinating. Several years ago, for example, I wasn't making any progress in starting a program of strength training. Cardio, no big deal. I was a runner after all. But I knew that wasn't enough, especially if I wanted to stay healthy into my later years. But I just kept procrastinating. I couldn't seem to get to the gym and get started. Finally, I convinced myself to hire a personal trainer as a 90-day experiment. Told the trainer that, told myself that, told Gail that. I thought, I'm not committing to this for life. It's just an experiment. Guys, that made all the difference. I've now had a trainer for the last 7 years, and I'm in the best shape of my life. Number two, when you're trying to sell a reluctant audience. Gail and I took our first 30-day sabbatical back in 2011, just after I left Thomas Nelson to start my own business. Well, one morning, as we were on the deck, I was finishing up my morning ritual, and Gail said to me, I really think that you should consider adding a practice of daily journaling to your routine. My response? I rolled my eyes. I mean, I'd tried journaling a few times in the past, and I concluded that it just wasn't for me. I mean, even though I was a writer, I typically wrote several thousand words a week. There was just something about the thought of journaling that I resisted. I didn't even know what it was. Finally, she said to me, why don't you just take it on as an experiment? Commit to it daily for the next 21 days, and if you decide it's not for you, fine. I won't ever mention it again. Well, she said that. I thought to myself, I could do that. I mean, why not? I've been journaling consistently ever since. I'm so glad I tried that. It's now an integral part of my morning ritual, and I think it's a huge personal development tool, journaling. Number three, when you need experiential input to get it right. Back in 2017, as most of you know, we shipped the first edition of the Full Focus Planner. And to be honest, I knew it wasn't perfect, but we didn't know how to make it better. We had taken it as far as we could as an internal team, taken it as far as we could without customer input, so we shipped it, and I'm so glad that we did. Over the next several months, customers flooded us, and I mean flooded us, with hundreds and thousands of comments about what they loved and what they didn't. We even set up a private Facebook group to collect their feedback. Some of you were part of that back in the early days. Then we went to work on the next edition. Every time that we came up with a proposed improvement, we created a sample page and shared it with the group. We invited them to test it and share their comments. Boy, did they ever. We got hundreds and hundreds of comments on every aspect of the planner, everything new that we tried to propose or everything we wanted to change. And that was exactly what we needed to take the planner to the next level. Okay, maybe you're convinced. Now you've got an idea of when you might use this approach. How do you get started? Okay, let me suggest you take three steps. First, be alert, be self-aware about the resistance. Whenever you encounter this in yourself, especially, or a constituency that you're trying to sell, see it as an indicator that you might have an opportunity for an experiment and make it easier for you or the people you're trying to sell to say yes. You're not committed to it forever. It's just an experiment. Number two, emphasize the low risk. One of the main reasons that we resist change is because we're either not convinced the change will work or we're not convinced the change is worth the investment that's required. One study showed that the average person will not place a bet unless the potential gain is at least twice the potential loss. In other words, they'd rather stay with what they've got unless that there's a significant gain that they can get by switching. So an experiment reduces or even eliminates that risk. So enroll your team in the experiment by underscoring the low exposure. Number three, set a specific time frame. You want the experiment to last long enough to be an honest try, but not so long that others continue to resist the idea. Now look, this is art, not science, but I usually shoot for the shortest time I can without compromising the validity of the experiment. Here's the thing. If the experiment works, great. You've achieved the change that you wanted to make. If it doesn't work, you still win. You mitigated the risk of full adoption, and now you've got even more information than when you began. As Ray Bradbury said, life is trying things to see if they work. That's the truth, isn't it? I love that quote. Developing an experimental mindset is a great way to see change happen for yourself and for those you are leading. Now, if you found this episode valuable, if you've got questions, let me know inside of our online community at Mighty Networks. And if you have a question that you want me to answer here publicly, maybe a question you think other people have as well, then please leave me a voicemail inside the Anchor app. And if you haven't done that yet or downloaded it yet, you can find links to the iPhone app and the Android app at anchor.fm. I know that's kind of an unusual URL, but that's the exact URL, anchor.fm. Until next time, keep pursuing the double win. I mean, it's not either or, right? You really can win at work and succeed at life. Thanks.